الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فأنذرتكم نارا تلظى لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى الذي كذب وتولى صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of sitting in the masjid and listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. In the previous week, the final thing we mentioned, the verses فَأَنْذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى لَا يَصْلَاهَا إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى الَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regards to Jahannam that the only people that will enter into Jahannam will be the wretched ones who turned away, who rejected and turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we had raised the question at the time that what about the people that has been established through Quran and Hadith that there are certain group of Muslims who will be sinful and their sins will outweigh their good deeds, and so they will have to spend some time in Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So the answer, there were many answers, but one of the answers that we mentioned, and this is the answer that today's talk will be focused on, Qadi Sanawullah Panipati rahimullah in his tafsir of Madhari mentions that this verse is specifically talking about the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the wretched people, alladhi kadhaba wa tawalla, who rejected and turned away with a kuffar who rejected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the time, this question of those Muslims whose sins outweighed their good deeds does not come into question. The reason being is that the Muslims at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who had bought iman on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And the reason why I have taken this week out, this time out, specifically to speak about the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, even though that is connected to the verse, it can be classed as some sort of a tangent as well. But the reason being is that the case of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in is a very sensitive matter. It's a very unique matter, and it's a very sensitive matter, and it's a matter which is deserving of great attention and great care. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. First of all, who is a Sahabi? The interpretation, the meaning of a Sahabi is man laqiya an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mu'minan bihi wa mata 'ala al-islam. The person who met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his life whilst bringing iman upon him and they passed away on this very iman, those are the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And the status of the Sahaba, we can try our very best to detail the status, to talk about the status through the means of the verses of the Holy Quran and through the tradition, the prophetic traditions. However, to fulfill the right of this topic seems to me personally impossible. Because it is somewhat unfathomable, the status of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa ajma'in. Also, with the fact that we are now in the month of Muharram, and tomorrow is the day of Ashura, and there are a certain group of people who make a great show of the martyrdom of the Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, and they profess their love for him and the love for the Ahl Bayt, and the same very group of people are the same people who go on and take great pride in cursing the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. So based on the time of the year and based on this verse and the writings of Qadi Sanaullah Panipati rahimullah, I decided to spend some time trying to detail the status of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And so we begin to bring a few verses from the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in one verse, in one place in the Holy Quran, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. That the ones that went ahead from the believers, from those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, and min al ansar, from those helpers of Medina to Munawwara who were ready, who showed hospitality and more than hospitality to the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with them and they are happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to put this into context, in one hadith it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the people of Jannah that, are you happy? So they said that, how can we not happy when you have given us such blessings that you have not given anyone in all the world? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually say to them that, I'll give you something that's even greater than that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, I make my happiness open and halal upon you today, and I will never be angry with you again. This is the greatest gift that will be given to the Jannati. Here in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already made an announcement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with every single one of them, and they are happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are we to say anything against the shan of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in? How can anyone have the audacity to say anything against the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has made this announcement? In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكُلَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. For every single one of them, Allah has promised them husna. And the mufassirin have said husna, which normally translates to good things, the best of things. Here, the interpretation, the meaning is given that husna over here means jannah. Allah has promised them jannah. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ. And again, in reference to the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those are the people that will be far away from Jahannam. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You were the best of nations. Here the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in have been referred to as the best of nations. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Muhammadur Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه. And then in the end of this verse, Allah says, وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. So a good few lines over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes their qualities of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi when it says, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ يعني those people who are with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who are they? They are the Sahaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes their qualities. And in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah has promised them forgiveness and a great reward. In other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in as-sadiqoon, ulaika humus sadiqeen, ulaika humul mu'minoon haqqa. They are the ones who are the true believers. And then we look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, countless ahadith with regards to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this famous hadith, everyone hears it every single week in the khutbah, Allah, Allah fi ashabi, that fear Allah with regards to my sahaba, la tattakhiduhum gharazan min ba'di, do not make them objects of insults after me. Do not insult the sahaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, faman ahabbahum, فَبِحُبِّي أَحَبَّهُمْ. Whoever loves the Sahaba, it is their love for me that is making them love the Sahaba. وَمَنْ أَبْغَدَهُمْ فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَدَهُمْ. And whoever hates the Sahaba, it is their hate for me that is making them hate the Sahaba. In other words, if you love the Sahaba, it's because you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you hate the Sahaba, it's because, admit it or not, like it or not, it's because you hate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma fadna min. This is the reality. It can't be, it cannot be that you profess to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then on the other hand, you claim to hate the Sahaba. It cannot be if you claim to hate the Sahaba, by extension you are hating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no two ways about it. Anybody who claims otherwise, they are guaranteed a liar. Because they are going against the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever goes against the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are truly the liars. The hadith continues, وَمَنْ آذَاهُمْ فَقَدْ آذَانِي. Whoever troubles them, they have troubled me. وَمَنْ آذَانِي فَقَدْ آذَى اللَّهِ. And whoever offends me and troubles me, they have offended Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ آذَى اللَّهَ فَيُوشِكُ أَنْ يَأْخُذَ. And whoever offends Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, soon it will be that they will be punished. So the warnings are there. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith is in Tirmizi Sharif. In another hadith, narrated by Imam Razin rahimullah, under the authority of Umar al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, أَصْحَابِكَ النُّجُومِ بِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ. That my sahaba are like guiding stars. Whichever one of them you follow, you will find guidance. In one hadith, very important one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Imam Tirmizi rahimullah narrates this, hadith number 3858, on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala, and he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, لا تمس النار مسلما رآني أو رأى من رآني. The fire of Jahannam will not touch a Muslim who has seen me, and it will not touch a Muslim who has seen the person who has seen me, indicating towards the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, and indicating also towards the Tabi'een, those who came after the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. In one hadith, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, خير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. The best nation is my nation, and then who came after them, and then who came after them. One hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, with regards to the pious people of the ummah, هم القوم La yashqa bihim jalisuhum. That they are such a nation, yani the pious people of the ummah, that the people who sit with them, they will not become wretched. So imagine if this is talking about the pious people of the ummah, what can we say about the people who sat with the greatest of the whole ummah, the greatest of all mankind, the greatest of the anbiya, none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's nothing that we can see. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, he in one narration, in a long narration, he describes the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. He says, من كان مستنا فليستنى بمن قد مات. Whoever wants to follow a path, follow the path of the people who have passed away. فَإِنَّ الْحَيَّ لَا تُؤْمِنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. Because the people that are alive, we don't know. Tomorrow they might get caught into some fitna and they might become astray. But the people who have passed away, we know them. The Sahaba, they have gone and they have succeeded, so follow their path. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Whose path is it that we should follow? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala is saying that أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. They were the companions of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. كانوا أفضل هذه الأمة أبرها قلوبا وعمقها علما. They were the greatest of this ummah. Those who had the purest of hearts. And in knowledge, they were the most deep, they had the most knowledge. وَأَقَلَّهَا تَكَلُّفًا اِخْتَارَهُمُ اللَّهُ لِسُحْبَةِ نَبِيِّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them for the companionship of His Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلِإِقَامَةِ دِينِهِ. And for the upholding of His deen. فَعْرِفُوا لَهُمْ فَضْلَهُمْ. Understand their status, recognize the virtue. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala alayhim wa sallam radiallahu ta'ala anhu was saying, وَاتَّبِعُوهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ. And follow them. وَتَمَسَّكُوا بِمَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ أَخْلَاكِهِمْ وَسِيرَتِهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ الْحَدِّ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. That as much as you can, follow the etiquettes and their lives, because they were on the right path. You have to look at the lives of the Sahaba, what they did for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sacrifice they made for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, we are forever indebted to them. If it wasn't for the jama'ah of the Sahaba and those that came after them and those that came after them and the Salafi Salihin and the ulama of the ummah and the akabirin, we would not be where we are today. We would not be sat in the masjid. We would not be praying salah. We would not be praying the Qur'an. We would not be sitting here with iman in our hearts. We would have gone astray. It was because of the sacrifice of the Sahaba first and foremost. Look at the stories, what they did. In one, Hadith Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala, he's leading an army. And on the journey to the battle, he gets an illness called hemorrhoids. And he has become so weak that he cannot even mount his horse. So he asks his companions to carry me to a high place where I can see the battlefield. And they carry him and they lay him down and he's lying down. Imagine the pain that he's going through. He didn't go home. He carried on. He's lying down in pain. And from the aerial view, he's directing the battle. The Sahaba, they're going through a difficult time. The opposition, they had brought elephants with them. And the elephants were trampling the Sahaba. And then Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala an, he gives the command, they shoot your arrows into the eyes of the elephants. And when this was done, the elephants went berserk. So they turned on their own people and they trampled them, and like this they won. They did not back away from the battle, no matter what illness came to them. Look at the story of Khaybar. Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhahu, he has an illness, like an infection in his eye. His eye has become sticky. The Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are struggling to conquer Khaybar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, tomorrow I will give the flag to a man who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah loves him. And the day after, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says that I, you know, went to the front, hoping that I would be the one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is summoned. My Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam puts his beloved and blessed saliva onto the eye of Hazrat Ali. And Hazrat Ali is immediately cured, and he takes the flag and he advances. And they go forward and they shield themselves from the arrows that are falling from above. And they reach the gate of Khaybar. And by Allah, Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhu was so strong that he lifted the gate out of its socket. And he used it as a shield, and Khaybar was opened, and he fought for the day. And Khaybar was conquered. And at the end of the day, he drops the gate on the floor, and 8 Sahaba. At the end of the day, 8 Sahabi were trying to lift the gate, but they could not lift this gate. Imagine the strength of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The sacrifice they made for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallahi, is unfathomable, it's unparalleled. We have to understand the status of the Sahaba. We have to understand and take great care of them and their legacies. And we have to ensure that when they are abused and when people are swearing at them, we are there to defend them. That's the least we can do. That's the least we can do for them today. What did they do for us? They sacrificed their lives for our sake. They sacrificed their lives for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what are we doing for them today? The least we can do is protect their legacy by defending them. And to understand the status of the Sahaba, one day we have heard of the great personality known as Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, who was known as the Umar Thani, the second Umar. He ruled the Muslim Ummah for 2 years and was a great, great leader. In his time, peace prevailed in the world. And he is known to have a very high status. He came from the progeny of Hazrat Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. And one day, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah, great muhandith, is asked with regards to the status. He says that who is greater, is Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah greater, or is Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu greater? To give a little bit of context, later on when some trials and tribulations afflicted the Ummah, there were some battles amongst the Muslims. Muslims against Muslims. This was prophesied by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from years before. And to very quickly explain, there was a great deal of hypocrites had infiltrated both sides of the Muslim army, and it was due to these hypocrites that the war, these battles began. To give an example, in one of the battles, before the battle was about to begin, the armies came across each other, and Hazrat Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala an, he steps forward and understand the importance of this man. Okay? He steps forward, and in a bid to reconcile with his Muslim brothers in front of him, he takes out his hand. Now, this was a very significant moment, because this hand that was reaching out, this hand was paralyzed. And there's a great story behind the paralysis of this hand. This hand had become paralyzed. This hand had become sacrificed. This hand had become wounded for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When, in the battle of Uhud, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an, at the time he wasn't a Muslim, when he had seen, you know, the famous story of the archers when they had left their post, and Hazrat Khalid bin Walid had seen the gap and he attacked the Muslims from behind. It was a very precarious moment, a very, very sensitive situation at the time. And at that moment, the disbelievers were coming in with the intention to, na'udhu billah, kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa na'udhu billah. And at that time, there was only a very few sahabas around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the arrows were being shot non-stop by the disbelievers. And at that moment, Hazrat Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala an, instead of ducking and diving from the arrows, he reached his hands up and he's catching the arrows in his hand. Why? Because this hand can be destroyed, but my Nabi alayhi salam cannot go through any difficulty. And the arrows are striking his hand to such a degree that due to the wounds on his hand, the veins had been burst. And so the hand had become paralyzed. The vein inside the hand that allows movement within the hand. And the hand had become paralyzed. And this was for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to protect the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Muslims, they saw the paralyzed hand of Hazrat Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala an, reaching out, they immediately remembered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they came and they, what's going on? How can we fight against our brothers? And they brought their hands forward and they were reconciling. When the hypocrites on both sides, they realized what's going on here. They're not supposed to be reconciling, they're supposed to be fighting. So they started shooting arrows. So the other side, they're in confusion now. So they started shooting arrows back, and then in the moment of panic, the battle began. So in one of these wars, Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajahu was on one side and Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala was on the other side. And so due to this, there are groups of people, they curse Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and you know, they say very nasty things about him. Astaghfirullah. So somebody asked Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah that who had the greatest status, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was it Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah? So Abdullah bin Barak rahimahullah gave such an answer that, you know, it amazes the mind and it makes the heart glow with happiness. He said that Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, who was a great personality in himself, no doubt, and the whole ummah is, there's a consensus of the ummah upon this. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, you know, when Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala was going out in jihad with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he was riding a horse, he says that, you know, the horses, they used to sweat because of the speed that they're going and the effort, the exertion. So the flying dust sand would get stuck in their noses. So he said, you know, this sand that was stuck in the horse of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, and Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah cannot even compare to that sand. So this shows that how can we even imagine trying to compare the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'een, anybody with the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een. The fact of the matter is that there were a group of people whom had seen the blessed eye of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen these people. And the difference between a person whose eye has met the eye of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a person who has not seen the eye of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can we compare them? We understand about the pious people of the ummah. Once Hazrat Imamullah, the Shaykh wa alayhi sallam, Imamullah mentioned, I can't remember the exact words, but he mentioned something along the lines of this. When Hazrat Shaykh Mullah Muhammad Zakariya Kandlawi Nawarallahu Manakadahu came to Darul Uloom Berry in 1979 and 1981, someone mentioned a sha'ir at the time, I can't remember the exact words, that the Sheikh used to enter, and he said something along the lines that, yahan se ek nazar hua, waha puri zindagi badal gaya. The one nazar, one look from the pious people on this side, over there, the person's entire life changed. And we understand this, that spending time, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to fear Allah and to spend time in the companionship of the truthful ones. So we understand this is established from the Quran, that to spend time with the pious people is beneficial. Imagine whose companionship can be more beneficial than the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One millisecond in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallahi, is better than all the world's a'mal and whatever you can do for a million years. One millisecond in the suhbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam enters a person into the group of the sahaba, and you can worship Allah for a million years, for a billion years. You will never, ever, ever even come close to reaching that person who spent a millisecond in the suhbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is very, very important for us to understand this, that the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, although they were not ma'soom like the anbiya alayhim as-salam, the anbiya alayhim as-salam were infallible, meaning that they had not ever committed a sin. The sahaba were not infallible. They did make mistakes, but they were forgiven. That's the point here. They were forgiven, and we mentioned the verses in the Holy Quran, and they were already forgiven. So how can anyone else after come and say anything otherwise? It's very, very important for us to understand this. It is very important for us to have the love of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een ingrained within us to such a level that it is unshakable. And whenever we find groups of people cursing the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, we should take it upon our own personal responsibility to defend the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een. That no, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een will never ever even smell the winds of Jahannam. Wallahi, every single one of them will enter into Jannatul Firdaus. And it is important for us to understand this. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the true love for the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, every single one of them. We mentioned about a person who spent 1 millisecond with the suhbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What to say about the man who spent his entire life, 63 years full, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Inshallah, the next verses till the end of this chapter all about this very man. Inshallah, we will speak about him radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in the next lecture, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq and gives us life. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the love for the Holy Quran and the true knowledge of the Holy Quran and the true love for the Holy Quran and the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the true love for the Sahaba and the sunnah of the Sahaba Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhim ajma'een. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the entire ummah the tawfiq to defend the Sahaba, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give hidayah and guidance to those people who say and who say things against the Sahaba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them guidance. Tomorrow is the day of Ashura, so we should try our very best to fast on this day. The day was a very blessed day, and the fast of tomorrow, the day of Ashura, is the virtue is that 1 year's sins will be forgiven. So we should try our very best to do as much a'mal and ibadah as we can. Try our very best to fast. And in one hadith, he says to spend on the family, so we should try to do this as well. Also, it is the day when Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an was very, very, very sadly martyred and in a very horrific way. So inshallah, tomorrow there will be a program with regards to this. Hazrat Mullah Adil Sahib will be coming over the weekend, so we should try our best to also attend, and the sisters can listen online from home as well. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa atba'ihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.